Blue Apron Take Back Dinner.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth. One is a lie. We try to figure out which story is a lie with the people that are playing along with us. Right, Jessica?
You always are right.
All right. Would you please introduce our guests?
I'd love to. This guy, he is a contender. He's coming back to defend his throne. He's from New York City. That's where he's at right now. It's late there. You've seen him on Boardwalk Empire, Girls, Blue Buds. He's got a comedy special that went number one on iTunes called Thug Thug Jew. This is Mr. Ethan Hirschenfeld.
Hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. Thanks for having me back in spite of everything that happened last time. I really appreciate that. Really nice to see you.
I was so excited when I saw that you're going to be on the show. I thought to myself, Pinky Rabinowitz, return.
Yes. Yes, I'm back and I'm badder. I'm badder than ever. And I look what happened.
Oh.
Yeah. All I had was a beard trimmer and I just needed a haircut and the beard trimmer had no attachment. So I had to, it was either nothing or zero. So I went for the zero.
Pulling it off.
And it keeps me lean in the ring.
Yeah, you look fast. You look aerodynamic.
Very fine, yeah.
This next gentleman, he was, I guess, the last round of live shows that I did. Probably caught Corona with him. You've seen him on Chelsea Lately, Modern Family, Conan. He starred on Free Agents on NBC. He's got specials on Amazon, Comedy Central, everywhere. He's fucking hilarious. This is Mr. Mo Mandel.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome to the show, Mo. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm proud to be a part of your extremely Jewish named special. Really proud to be part of this Heine special that you guys
have. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos, Mo.
Good Shabbos to you. I know when you're this as Jewish as we are, every day is Shabbos. Okay.
Rev Mandel, a blessing on your head.
How tall is your hair actually? How is it?
When I really do this, I'm about 8 feet tall when I do that now. Yeah. Good. And my eyebrows are just about five feet tall at this point.
There you go. All right. So this is what's going to happen. You both are going to tell two stories. One is a truth. One is a lie. We'll rotate it around. And Mr. Michael Evans here, our on-air producer, will be writing down your story so that he will do a recap at the end of the show, and then we'll all take a vote, including the people that are playing along. Hello, Jason Marino. He's one of our favorites. And we have a new person here, Justice. And so why doesn't Ethan start since he's done this show before?
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay, so, all right. Am I giving you... I'm giving you both stories or just one
no,
of the stories?
No, remember one story. We'll rotate around. You'll do a story, then Mo will do a story, right. Then you do a story. Yeah.
It's a deal. Okay. So here's my story. So as I told you last time, I used to be an opera singer, and I had a dream come true. A couple years ago, I got to make my debut at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. I was an understudy, but the other guy got sick. And he got sick, and sort of last minute, I thought I was going on. And then they called me and said, no, he's not sick. So I didn't go on, but then the next week he got sick again. I got to make my debut at the Metropolitan Opera, but because I was the understudy, they did not have time to rehearse me on the stage. I had only rehearsed in a rehearsal room. So when my music started playing and it was my time to go on stage, there was no stage manager there to tell me to go. So I started moving and I realized there was a lot of extras to move through. So I almost missed my entrance. I was kind of pushing them aside to get to the front of the stage. I heard my music. I made it just in time. I sang my thing. I got off stage. I was relieved. I felt like it went well. But then in the second act, the starring guy who I had a scene with, he was totally fucking up. He missed his choreography. We had a fight scene. He screwed it up. And I found out afterwards he was totally drunk during the show. And then I got very worried because my gift to the rest of the cast, because it was my debut, I gave a really nice bottle of wine to each of the other singers. And then I was like, oh shit, I had my pretty successful fun debut, but now I'm never going to work here again because they're going to find out that I just got the star drunk. And it turned out he had a drinking problem and it was not the first time this had happened. But and then what happened subsequently is I never got hired back at that theater again. So I'm thinking maybe they did find out that I got the star drunk. So,
how many?
He drank this the wine that you supplied.
That was my assumption. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but he was drunk. I heard the rumor going around that that's why he was screwing up his choreography.
Was it a good wine, like pink Moscato?
It was good enough. Like I didn't want to spend too much money because I was buying like 6 or 8 bottles of it, but I bought something okay because I didn't want to look like a cheap schmuck on my debut night. So I got the same bottle for each of the other singers and for the conductor. So I was like, oh shit, they're gonna know because, you know.
Yeah.
If I got the same bottle for everybody, like, you know.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if someone had a drinking problem, I don't think one bottle of wine is going to put them over the, you know what I mean? Right?
I didn't know about his drinking problem. But although you're not really supposed to drink on the job, I guess. But, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
You're allowed to ask questions too, by the way.
Oh, I am?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I was going to say what you're saying there actually isn't true. What people who have drinking problems will often have very low tolerance over time. And I know that because of certain family members of mine who are huge alcoholics and they still get drunk after a few glasses of wine. So that is something to consider here. Just throwing it out there.
Okay. Is there any rules on wine and alcohol in the Jewish community? Like, is it kosher?
Tell us what you think kosher is.
Yeah.
I bet you don't even know what kosher means.
Yeah. Do you know what that is, Jessica?
I mean, not really. I mean, I know pickles.
Pickles, that's what it is. If the wine has a pickle in it, then it's okay.
That's how somebody goes kosher. You get a little sprinkle of pickle juice.
Any other dying questions you have over there, Jessica?
I mean, it didn't really answer it, though, is it?
Oh, some wine is kosher and some wine isn't. You got to look for the sign. Yeah.
I didn't even see. It's not crazy.
It's not crazy at all. Yeah.
You ended up covering for this guy? You ended up being the star?
I was covering for a different guy. It was a small role. But the star guy was the one who was just fucking up and got plastered.
Yeah. And what was the name of the show?
It was Macbeth.
Yeah.
Macbeth is a play that someone who doesn't know what a play is says is the only play they can think of.
No, it wasn't a play. It was an opera. It's the opera by Verdi of the same name. But it's Macbetto, but it's Macbeth. So I was just hesitating because I didn't know if I was going
to
say
it. That just sounds like someone who's been to Italy for the first time and they think that's how you have to say things. Like, I want to find the bathroom.
Honestly,
I don't want to brag, but... I'm often a customer at McDonald's.
I was going to say, Ethan, it does sound like something Jessica would say.
Yeah.
All right.
And actually, Hamlet, the play, the opera of Hamlet is
Hamletto.
Hamletto.
It is.
Yeah, which is the same. It's the same word for omelet. So you got to be careful if you're ordering
just
omelet.
Just when I thought Hamlet. I couldn't hate opera more.
Okay, well, that's a great first story. Let's move on to Mo's first story.
Okay, so I have a theme with my stories, and they also involve a plug. I'm going to throw a plug in here for something I have airing this week on the Discovery Channel. It's a show called Small Town Throwdown, where I go to small towns around America that have really bad reputations, and I give them a chance to, like, fight back and show what they're really all about. So it's like the small town pride kind of show, 10 o'clock this Wednesday, the Discovery Channel. Now, that ties into my stories because they're both going to be about small towns because I grew up in a very small town called Boonville. Here's the first one.
Boonville where?
Boonville, California.
There's a Boonville, California?
Where's that?
Last I checked with my childhood.
Where's that?
It's about 3 hours north of San Francisco.
Okay.
Okay, so my parents moved up there in the late 70s, and my mom was looking for a job in very small rural town. They thought about growing marijuana, but my dad is a doctor and a psychiatrist, so it's kind of a doctor, and didn't want to have him risk his career doing that. So she started studying massage and was going to be a massage therapist, and there's a little hotel outside of Boonville in another town called Philo. And they had a little hotel there. So she applied for a job as a masseuse. And the guy who owned the hotel found out that she was a photographer, because my mom's a photographer, and she said, oh, I'm a photographer, and he started showing her photos. And the photos started getting increasingly more pornographic, and they were, like, women in bondage positions and all kinds of really freaky shit, and all with, like, women in all these kind of scary positions and tied up, and so she got kind of creeped out, and she left. And then later on, it turned out that this guy was Leonard Lake, who's one of the most notorious serial killers in American history, who's rumored to have killed over like 50 women, and now has been since executed.
Where?
And so she didn't take the job.
Did he have a name? Did he have like a moniker?
Leonard Lake was his name, his Christian name, as you would say. I don't know if he had a moniker, but
like Night Stalker, you know.
No, I don't know if he got to Nick. I mean, his stats deserving of a nickname level, but I don't think he
killed 50 people and they don't give you a fucking moniker. That'd make me want to kill 50 more.
Yeah, I was gonna. Yeah, well, Mo, how small was the town you grew up in?
700 people.
Seven fucking. Okay, that's some small town shit, man. I was gonna say I grew up in a small town, but it doesn't sound small anymore. So. Was he in the middle of his killing streak? Was he kind of like on fire? Was this before he was the Leonard Blake, or was it after he had already died down?
I think, if I remember, this was before the really crazy killing shit got going, but, you know, probably he was dabbling.
Yeah, apparently. He was getting weird, for sure. He had pictures of that.
It was on its way there, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's really weird that you don't know his moniker, like, because they all have it, like every one of them, you know, like
that's right? Not true. Charles Manson doesn't have one.
That's true. He's just Charles Manson. He's got a point.
How do you know that the Night Stalker's not his real name?
Because it's Richard Ramirez.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Okay, but hold on. But what's his name that you just said, the guy, Manson, he didn't actually kill anybody.
Oh, are you going to say he's a guy who should have been allowed to live, should have been out there, really?
I'm not going to say he should have been out there, but he didn't physically kill anybody himself.
Right. Oh, so you think that's why he didn't get a nickname?
Maybe.
You can't be getting everyone else. Yeah.
That's interesting. Maybe at the it's kind of like the Hall of Fame. They were like, you know, he doesn't really deserve to be in there with the nickname because he didn't actually do it himself.
And no rings.
Jason Marina just said, hey, how about the Golden State Killer? There you go. And how did the creepy pictures surface is what he's asking. Yeah, like how long was she sitting there before the pictures got pornographic? And how many did naughty ones did she look at before she's like, I'm out, dude?
That I don't know specifically, but I think it was at least a good 5 minutes. Like, I don't think he just banged. I would guess he didn't just bang him out, or she would have gotten out of there faster. But my mom's a pretty trusting, weird person, so she probably like was like, okay, well, I'm going to keep an open mind.
Okay.
Hold on. Ted Bundy, did he have a nickname?
Yeah, Fundy Bundy.
Funday.
didn't he like kill like college girls or something like that? I'm sure it's something like
well,
that.
He was like the handsome, they call, he was the handsome something. I don't know.
Yeah, but I thought he was gay.
No, that's Dahmer. Jessica, have you,
go for it. Okay. All right, so it's your turn, Thug Drew.
Okay, so I'm also going to embed a plug into story number two. So back in November, I was recording my comedy album, Thug Drew, and okay. there was a woman in the front row with an outrageously loud, disturbing laugh, and it would come at very weird times. It was like a cackle. It was like a pack of wolves being murdered. And about 2 minutes into the show, I had to just make a command decision and leave the stage. It was a sold out house. I had to leave the stage and get a manager to throw her out because it was going to ruin an entire take. So out in the hallway, I said to her, what's going on with you? Are you like on meds and mixing with alcohol? What the hell's going on? And she said no. And she was crying because she was being asked to leave. And I had another comedian friend of mine who had opened for me. I said to him, just make sure she just do what you need to do to make sure she just leaves. So he ended up paying her off to leave. I got back on stage, finished the show. It went great. Went out with friends, had some drinks. I got home late after the second show to Brooklyn. And this woman is sitting in front of my building. The crazy.
Yeah, but pastor. We wouldn't became such good friends if I had.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Anyway, she's sitting there. I said, What are you doing here? How do you even know where I live? It turns out the reason I knew her is because she worked at the copy shop in the neighborhood. I was always in there. I would mail stuff there, UPS, so she knew my address. She's sitting there. I said, you know, I was worried. She was drunk. She was a mess. I said, what do you want? She said, listen, I'm not leaving until you do the jokes for me, since you kicked me out of the show. So I was like, okay, you want me to do a joke for you? And she's like, no, I want you to do all the jokes for me. So I was like, come on, that's crazy. I'm going upstairs. She starts screaming. And I said, okay, look, I'm gonna get in trouble here if I don't actually do this. So I actually started doing my routine.
No.
It was like 2 a.m. in front of my building. And she's sitting there, and she starts to nod off after about 10 minutes, which was honestly a little insulting. But, there it was. She's nodding. She's a little drooly and a little drunk. And I went upstairs and went to sleep.
What was the name of the coffee shop?
The copy shop. It's just called 11211, which is the zip code.
Yeah. Wow, pretty good.
Yeah.
pretty good, huh, Mo? I mean, remember when he couldn't think of a play and picked Macbeth? That's pretty good.
No, it's not. How do you know it's a real name? 1121 just sounds like he's just quoting like the first part of his phone number or something.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy over here. I don't know, man.
I don't believe it. I don't believe anybody's funny enough to stop their own show, get off stage, have a conversation in the hallway to kick somebody out who was enjoying the show, and get on stage and have a good set. That seems impossible to me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was my first comedy album. There was a record company recording it, and her laugh was ruining.
No, I get why you would do it. Yeah. I just don't believe that you could then get on, and I don't know your comedy, you might be the funniest person alive. I don't believe you could do that, get back on stage, and then get that same crowd to be a good crowd. Also, here's what I want to know.
Get the album, you'll hear it.
No, I'm not going to do that. But the guy...
Yeah. Hey, come on, man.
I mean, it's a limit to everything. But there's the guy who opened for you was also in the hallway. So who was on stage during this whole conversation?
Yeah.
So he was the feature, and my MC went back up and did five while I was dealing with the situation.
Yeah. And but I don't understand, if the record company was there, why didn't they deal with the situation? Because they wouldn't want you to freak the fuck out. Like,
the record company just sets up the mics. They're not even in the room. But that was my night with the two shows sold out to do the record.
Uh-huh. And this was
this the first or the second show?
This was the first show.
Yeah.
See, I don't think that makes sense either. Because I think on the first show, you would just be like, well, we'll get some out of it. And we got that second show.
Yeah.
Right. But Ethan is a super, super nice guy. And I could see him almost being like, you know what? Let me talk to her. You know?
I can kind of see that too.
Yeah.
Honestly, it wasn't even the let me talk to her thing. It was literally like 2 minutes in. She stepped on a few jokes with that cackling laugh. And then I was like, it was a command decision. I was like, I'm leaving the stage. I have to get rid of her. This is going to ruin 60 minutes of comedy. We're only 2 minutes in. This is going to be absolute hell.
Could you do the impression of her laugh?
I can't, because I'm a bass. She was a super soprano. It was like that, you know, like a yapping chihuahua.
Did you, when you got back on stage, did you redo those jokes that she had laughed over?
No, I attempted to back it up right to the joke right before, and I realized in my head as I started that I backed up a little too far. So then I started saying like, okay, I did that one. I did that one already. And then I jumped right to the punchline, got a big laugh on the weird like thing of it. And then kept moving. It was like, it was kind of a little miraculous.
All right. Let me, go through one more time. So you have the feature guy take her out. Then
No. I leave the stage and get the club to bring her out into the hallway. And then I have the feature guy deal with her, because she's just standing there like hysterical. I'm like, what's going on with you? Are you like on drugs? And she's like, no. And then I just told him my feature. I said, Tom, can you just do whatever you have to do? He ended up having to pay her like, it ended up, he paid for her tickets and her drinks. I paid him back. It's like $150 bucks.
And then what happened, though, after that? Like, did you say to the crowd, this is what the situation was? Was there any explanation?
I just said sorry about that. And some people afterwards told me they thought I was doing an Andy Kaufman thing. Like some people thought it was part of the thing because it was just bizarre. I'd never in 30 years of getting up on stage actually left a stage with an audience there. So it was bizarre.
Mo doesn't get this. He doesn't have the patience. He would have had a stroke, I think.
No, I don't have a, I just don't have, I don't ever have an audience there.
I don't know.
If I have anybody there laughing, I lock them to the chair, make them watch both shows. Oh,
I know. Yeah, that's a thing. I can't imagine. Because I think if you had two shows, that, yeah, I think exactly what Mo said, you would just go along with it because you could get something really fun out of it and then kind of shut her down that way. I just, to go in for 2 minutes and then bail after 2 minutes over someone's laugh and not let them settle into it.
Like, how do you
know? Yeah, still, like, she was murdering. Like, I have jokes right up front that I know kill, and she literally, like, stepped on it, like, a big laugh before the punchline. And just, I was like, wow, this is fucked.
But wait a minute. You didn't know she wasn't doing that to the feature and the MC?
I heard her laughing uproariously to the feature, and I was like, wow, that's a crazy laugh. But he was just going with it. And it wasn't his album. The pressure was, like, you know, for me, this was an album. Yeah.
But you didn't go, hey, you hear that laugh? Get her to be quiet because I'm about to go on stage.
Exactly. That's a good...
No. My MC gave her the rules. Literally, I'll tell you the first thing that happened when I stepped on stage. So my MC, Becky, said, and there's a recording going on, so laugh, but no talking, and under no circumstances, do not talk to the comedian, obviously, but she said that. When I stepped on stage, before I told my first joke, and she's in the front row, she looks at me and she says, hi, Ethan, like audibly, and I was like, wow, I was thinking this is fucked, but I started, and then within 2 minutes I saw we had a real problem on our hands. It was like an insane situation where you're like, okay, this isn't just someone who's laughing a lot. There's some insanity here. So,
right. Wow, it seems like
I don't appreciate all the questions. Just believe me, people.
The album is called Thug Thug Jew, and it's just such a like almost a weak thing to do. That's why it's so surprising, right?
Is it? Or
no, it's not weak. It's not weak at all.
I don't think it's weak at all. I think it's the opposite.
I had a record company that had invested in putting this thing on. I was not going to let a 60-minute take be fucked. That's not weak at all.
No, I don't think it's weak at all.
Weak would be to roll with it.
It's great.
It is. It takes a lot of cojones.
All right.
Yeah. I like to believe in Ethan's story. Yeah. I like believing in Ethan's story, but I think Ethan would have mentioned the hi Ethan up top. He would have mentioned that in the part of the story. We had a question for a while.
Point. That's true. That story has changed.
Like that would have sold me harder if I was like, gosh, she just said hi to you using your name right away. That's pretty fucking annoying. Like, hey, you can't do that. We're recording.
No, you're honestly right. And I did mean to include that in the story, but there it comes
out. I did mean that.
Wait, how did she know where you live?
Got so mad, and then you're like, yeah, okay, I did.
Oh, she knew Mo. She, I've been a customer at that copy shop for like 12 years. That's how I knew her, and that's why she had an invitation to the show. But I'd never hung out with her.
I could see. Okay, I could see that. So she's a barista. It's the first time. Maybe she's had a crush on you all this time. She's finally going to go to your show or something.
There was an element of that scary, stalky, possible element also.
Right.
That happens to me all the time.
You're on the other side. You're the stalker.
All right.
And did I mention in the first telling that, and then I fucked her? Did I include that?
Oh, you smashed?
No, I didn't.
Okay. All right. So that was an awesome second story. Let's move on to Mo's second story, unless anybody has any more questions. All right, Mo.
Okay, here's my second one. Is also in plugging Small Town Throwdown this Wednesday, Discovery Channel, 10 o'clock. It also involves my small town upbringing. My mom, again involved, although she's not in Small Town Throwdown, you can see her in the opening credits. We used to have chickens and a rooster, right? And roosters are real motherfuckers.
They're mean as hell.
They're mean as hell. Yes, Jessica does know about roosters. Unbelievable. Are roosters kosher, though? That's the question.
Is it? I don't know. Are they?
I don't know. It could be, I guess. Anyway, we had this rooster that was a real asshole, and he attacked me a few times when I was a little kid, and I had to like beat him off with a wiffle ball bat, and he just was like really always attacking me and stuff. And so we decided, you know, we had to get rid of him. So what my mom decided to do was she was going to drive him out into the woods and let him go, you know, because they didn't want to kill him. So they're just going to throw him out there, right? So she took him up. My family with some other people own some property. And so they drove him up there. And she, when they got up there, they hadn't been up on the property in a while. She took the rooster out and she noticed that someone had started growing weed on the property. A lot of it, but it wasn't anyone that, you know, was one of the owners. So people will do that up north, you know, in Northern California, they just sort of take over property. So when she came out, she went to look at it, you know, like what the fuck's going on. And she saw guys with guns and shit guarding it. And so she just like had to freeze and then like waited until they turned around and crept out of the woods, leaving her car there, and had to walk all the way back down the hill and all the way back down to our house, which is like 5 miles away. And then ultimately they had to call the police.
Holding a chicken?
No, she had let the rooster go at that point.
Okay, I was like, how do you quietly walk away with holding a chicken?
No, like she had gotten out of the car. She, you know, go. And then she like saw the weed growing here. And then so once she got down, then, you know, it was pretty scary. And like called the police and everything. And then it was kind of freaky because is weed kosher? It can be kosher. Someone's asking her. They had to, you know, because then you didn't know if these guys were going to like exact revenge and shit. So it was kind of freaky.
That is some hillbilly shit that your mom had to drive your rooster into the woods.
In a big old red truck. How's that for some?
Wow, yeah. Your mom attracts dangerous people.
Oh.
First the killer and then the weed dealers.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, but she only attracted one of them.
Right.
Based on the show.
And I definitely think you were a kid that wreaked some havoc with a wiffle ball bat at some point. Totally believe that. Totally.
Absolutely. Believe that. Yes, that is true.
Uh-huh. I mean, I do know that they throw a lot of seed up in the forest. And I do know they kind of do that kind of stuff. But I think they'd be very cautious about people's property. So your family had a house and then they had a piece of property outside the town?
Yeah.
That piece of property.
What's that?
How big was that piece of property?
Like 90 acres. They own it with three other families.
Uh-huh. And whatever happened to that piece of property?
They're still trying to sell it.
They're not.
They bought it years ago. They were thinking about starting a hippie commune, and they never did, and so they haven't been able to sell it in the last like 30 years.
So your dad, the doctor who was too afraid to sell weed, wanted to start a hippie commune?
Well, like, they wanted to live communally with these fans. So not like a commune, like a fucking cult or something. But
are you still friendly with these families?
Yeah.
What are the families? Oh, you can't just say their first names, not their last names.
Their first names? All right. Nancy Allen, who's actually passed away. Gregory and Janetti.
Janetti?
Okay. Could your mom tell if those plants were indica or sativa?
I think this is before they had those terms.
Now, Felicia, this is more your probably expertise here.
Being a woman that walks around in the woods with a chicken, go ahead.
It's a rooster, not chicken.
A rooster.
But I'm like you. Would they go on someone else's property? I know back in the, you know, they used to do it in like federal property or
yeah, like national forest or something like that. Yeah. But if it's 90 acres, I think that would be really hard to do what is national forest and what is someone's property. 90 acres is pretty fucking huge.
That's true. That's really big.
Yeah.
Really big.
Yeah.
I'm Mo's never heard that. You know what I mean?
You can tell she hasn't been with a lot of Jewish guys because they all dicks, Jessica. Anyway.
That's the only way you'll ever learn what the word kosher is, Jessica.
Yeah. All right. So if there's any questions, thank you, Justice, for playing. They say they have to go. Thank you so much for playing along. And if we have any more questions for Mo, or should we go ahead and do the recap?
So in Ethan's first story, Ethan's an opera guy, as we well know. He shreds. We've heard him do it. He's great. He's going to have his debut at the Met Opera in New York. This is the Metropolitan Opera in New York. This is back when he's an understudy and a guy got sick. And so he gets a chance to fill in for him. And then turns out he's not sick. He got to do it anyway. And then the following week, he really was sick. But because of all this, there's no rehearsal time. He almost missed his time to go out on stage. It was stressful and he almost screwed it up, but it was a huge relief. It went well. And long story short, he had brought a bunch of bottles as like a gesture to the cast, and the star had a drinking problem and he was shit-faced and fucking up the whole show. And it was likely off of the bottles that Ethan had brought, which is probably why he hasn't been asked to work there since. That's story number one. Second story, he's recording Thug Thug Jew, available on iTunes, went number one for a while. Check it out, back in November.
Thank you.
And there's a bad cackle in the front row, and a couple minutes in, he had to leave the stage to get her thrown out. Basically takes her out, goes out in the hallway, has the club figure this whole thing out, throws the MC back up on stage. She's crying and everything, and she has to leave. She's embarrassed. Ethan goes and has a night out, like a little after party on the town after the album recording. He gets back to his apartment in Brooklyn, and this chick is outside who got kicked out. Turns out she's the barista at his local coffee spot that he goes to all the time. And she goes, "I'm not leaving until you give me the fucking act right here." And he's like, "I'm not going to do that." Tries to go up to his apartment. She starts screaming and making this a thing. So he's like, "Oh my God, I got to do this." So he's just standing there at 2 a.m. going through some jokes, gets about 10 minutes in before she passes out. And that's it.
Michael, do you have a vote right off top?
It would be very Ethan to entertain that. If he's like, "Really, you're not gonna do anything till I do some jokes," I think he'd give him a few minutes of the act, maybe. It's a believable story from a guy like Ethan.
Yeah, he's very nice.
Yeah, he might give you a few minutes if you demanded
that. Right, he wears sweaters.
I work cheap.
I think the first one's a lie.
Why?
Because the other one's just so ridiculous. I don't think he would make up a story about a woman coming to his house afterwards. That just seems insane. So it must be true.
The only thing I thought about that second story is how somber he was in telling the story. Like his facial expressions were very serious. And I think about the last stories that he told the last time he was on the podcast. Even then, he didn't have that serious of an expression when he was talking about it. So that would be the only thing where I'd be like, is it acting or is he just telling the truth?
He's an actor. Fuck. Oh, and he's over there looking like the Jewish Cosby.
I think I was just, the serious look was just, I was just afraid of the judgment and all the questions. Yeah. It was just weighing on me. Yeah.
I don't know. I think he might have made up that craziness. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't think that you would. I wouldn't tell jokes to somebody on my steps. I'd be like, "Fuck off! You can buy the special when it comes out, minus your laugh."
Yeah.
Except if we're in this Me Too thing, a woman screaming at 2 a.m. on the block. I'd rather just like tell a few jokes and get to sleep without having like the.
Well, no, it's vibe. Believe all women. It's not perform stand up on your steps at 2 a.m. for all women.
I know. I think you should change the name.
Tell jokes to all women.
You should change the name of your CD to Snowflake Snowflake Jew. Because
I disagree with you. I don't think it's a snowflake thing. I think it takes a lot of balls to think I'm going to kick someone out and I'm going to win I'm going to win the crowd back. The snowflake would be just doing it and then having your album fucked up.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but you've got to remember, Mo, she followed
me. They're teaming up. This isn't fair.
No, it's not. The point is where she comes back to his house, though, Mo.
Yeah, I think that's too crazy. I think he wouldn't have made that up. I think that's too weird.
By the way, I just want to correct something. In the recap, you were calling it a coffee shop. It's copy shop. Short of the copy shop, not coffee shop. But
why the hell were you going there all the time?
Because I don't have a printer. I haven't had a printer in years. If I need the occasional thing printed or mailed, I just go there.
Printers are $60.
I know, but the cartridges are like $40.
That is true. The cartridges do get you. They get you on the cartridge.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a vote. I'm going to vote the second story is the lie.
I agree with you. I think it's just, I think maybe the first part happened, but she didn't follow him home.
Yeah.
God, I'm going first story's the lie.
Ooh. I'm going first story's the lie as well.
Oh, all right. All right. All right. Well, Jason Marino says that the second story is a lie. Hmm. All right. Okay. So let us know which story, Ethan, is the lie.
The second story for exactly the reason that Jess said. So the whole story was true until her being on my stoop.
Mm.
So Jess nailed it.
Woo, baby! That's right. That's when it went Lulu.
That's weird. Right. That's the only reason I thought it wasn't a lie.
So was it?
What a Shonda.
Yeah, I know. It's a Shonda. That's a shame.
Real Shonda. Know.
By the... sorry, I lost my train of thought. Yeah.
Well, so when you went up there, did you say to the audience, this is what happened, or there was a technical difficulty, or you just went?
No, I just, when I left the stage, I was like, I'm sorry, I'll be right back. That's what I said verbatim. I'm sorry, I'll be right back. And when I got back on the stage, I was like, sorry about that. And then I just went right back into my act. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Wow.
And we got two clean takes, but it was a scary moment. It was like surreal scary, but it wasn't even a decision. It was just such a bizarre, insane laugh that it was just going to shit all over 60 minutes of comedy.
And where did you take this at?
At the New York Comedy Club.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, two great stories. Let's move on.
Thank you so much.
Two stories.
All right, so Mo Mandel's first story. Well, first of all, you can catch Small Town Throwdown on Discovery Channel, 10 p.m. this Wednesday. It's Mo's show about small towns, and you should check it out because he grew up in a small town called Boonville, California. He should know. His parents moved there in the late 70s. His dad's a psychiatrist, and his mom was studying massage, and there's a hotel outside of town where she goes to apply to be the masseuse. And then the guy that's kind of conducting the interview, the hiring process, is like, oh, you take photos too? Check it out. I take some photos. So they're going through some pictures of his work for a while. And then it turns into some real wild, like BDSM and chaining women up and just weird type of shit. And it turns out this guy is the notorious Leonard No Moniker Blake. Blake, of course. I was making sure you guys knew. And that's story number one. In his second story, more small town shit. Catch Small Town Throwdown 10 p.m. Wednesday on Discovery Channel. More mom. They had chickens and roosters growing up when Mo was growing up, and roosters are fucking mean. They're always attacking, so they're like, we got to get rid of these roosters or this rooster. I'm not sure if it was multiple roosters, but they drive out to the woods on this property that they owned with three other families. Rest in peace, Alan. And they get out there and they're gonna drop the rooster off, right? And when they're dropping the rooster off, it's just his mom's out there alone, and she sees like some of the people are growing weed out there, and then she sees some guys with like guns and shit. Realizes it's a real operation, so she kind of freezes up and waits till they turned away, and then she crept out. It's like 5 miles back. She left the car, and then she had to go all the way back to town or whatever. Call the police. That's story number two.
So it was just her alone that took the rooster, her by herself.
Just her and the rooster. And then the rooster went off and did its own thing, I guess.
You know, fun fact, on my favorite show, The Ranch, they call Ashton's brother a rooster.
Okay.
The Ranch is a food show?
Hey, Jessica, define fun. No. I didn't find that fact fun at all.
Okay. Well, here's another not funny fact. David Sedaris's brother, he's a great writer, comedy writer. They call him the rooster.
I didn't know David. I thought it was just David and Amy. Wow, what a talented fucking family.
Yeah.
A big family, lots of kids.
The rooster, maybe not so much. So I feel like, God, it's so hard to tell which one is a lie. Because they're both secondhand accounts of the story, right?
It's true. They both happened to his mom. They didn't even happen to him.
Uh-huh. And
oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So
the only one that included him would be the rooster story, because he at least had a personal attachment to the rooster attacking him.
Right. And it is a well-known kind of thing, like living in California, to know that people get very uptight and upset and do have guns in those, sometimes in those big rows, because that's a lot. If you're, you know, they, those seeds are expensive. You're throwing all that seed, you know, you're going to protect your stuff. So that part, I do kind of believe. I don't know about the rooster part, but then the serial killer without the moniker, I mean, come on. Like, all town Leonard or something, like, you know what I mean? Like, right?
Right. Photography, Leo.
Yeah. What do you
think? I'm trying to get one. I can't.
What do you think, Thug Thug Jew?
I have a very strong feeling that the Leonard Lake story is true.
Ooh.
Yes. And I think that's the true one. And I think the main thing is, when you were just recounting it, Felicia, the thing that sticks out to me as probably not true is the people guarding the land with guns in like the 80s or whatever. I'm just not, it's just, I don't know, it feels a little too Miami Vice for me. So I'm going to go with story one being true and the rooster story being false. I'm going to go out on a limb.
True. Okay.
No, I think that's true though. Cause I had a friend who had a big grow and a big piece of land up there and was growing, and like, they had to carry guns because they also had to protect their family who was on the property. Cause people, you know, people are stupid. Yeah. I'm going to say the second story is true, because I just can't believe the guy. How many people did he kill?
It was in the 40s.
So it went from 50-something to 40s now?
No.
I don't think I said 50. I didn't think 50.
Oh, you did.
You said 50.
Well, hey, what are you going to do? Once you get past a certain amount of people, it's, you know, it's a lot.
Once you pass 24, it doesn't...
Yeah.
I just think also, if he didn't have a moniker, like, what was, did he have like a kink? Like, what was his go-to move? Did he have a signature?
Killing. His kink was killing people.
Did he have a signature?
He'd get him to give him a massage first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what was...
Well, he killed them with another guy.
Oh.
There was a guy named Charles Ning, and they would kill them together.
No, you just read a book during quarantine.
I know. That's like a Hillside Strangler or something.
Oh my god! Chinese guy. I think he was Chinese. His name is Charles Ning, and he might still be alive.
You got it's great. Hey, Felicia, I have this same story, but I just wasn't from as small a town, so it didn't seem. I'm from like a 15,000 person town. My buddy's mom gave the Hillside Strangler a haircut when they were teenagers before he was the Hillside Strangler.
Wow. And it was so bad, he resented women the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's probably why, Lisa, you fuck.
Wow. All right. I'm gonna say the second story is true. I'm going to say the second story is true. Jessica, did you already vote?
I'm going to say that the second story is true. The first story, Mr. Leonard Lake, is false. He just watched something on Netflix or something.
I believe Leonard Lake.
You do?
Yeah, I'm on the Leonard Lake story. I'm not on the pod story.
All yes, right. Michael. Thank you, Michael. I was feeling lonely.
Hell yeah.
All right. All right, so, Mo, which story is the lie?
Well, when I was a kid, I was attacked by a rooster. And I had a wiffle ball bat, and I fought it off with it. And they had to get rid of it. So my dad put it in the car, drove it out to the woods, and threw it in the woods, and that was it.
Wow. Hey. Damn it! I knew that was the true part! I fucking knew it!
That's funny, because somebody said that was the part they didn't believe.
Oh, that's the part. That's the only part I really believed.
Okay, well, that was really the only part that was true.
I also really believe the wiffle and the rooster, because it's so specific. It's like, who's going to make that up?
That's but a new song. The truth is, there are a lot of gun pot field things out there. So
right.
Yeah. As I said that, and as Felicia was talking, I was like, the only reason I didn't think that was true is because, like, where I grew up, you would never see someone with a gun unless they were a cop. So that's just.
Right.
Oh, well, that's not true. That's where are you from?
The Bronx.
Yeah.
The guns were all hidden.
Wow, you guys have been awesome storytellers, great liars, and horrific liars at the same time. Thank you so much for spending part of your pandemic with us. Please tell us again what you guys want other people to know. I know, Ethan, you have your album, Thug Thug Jew. Where can people find it, and where can they find you?
Yeah, Thug Thug Jew on iTunes and Amazon and Pandora and all that stuff, Thug Thug Jew. And then also you can see me on an upcoming episode of Betty on HBO. And that's coming out in a few weeks, episode 6 of Betty, the new skateboarder chick show on HBO.
Nice.
And you can see, yeah. So, and EthanHirschenfeld.com, EthanHirschenfeld.com. Spelled just like it sounds. That I'll spell it.
Thank you. You're nice for joining us. Thank you. And what Thank about you, Noah?
So, yeah, I got the show Small Town Throwdown this Wednesday, Discovery Channel, 10 p.m. And it's pretty cool. It's this show where we kind of give small towns a chance to fight back. And then you can find me on momandel.com. I have a new podcast about action movies called Jean-Claude Van Damme, girl. And you can check that on iTunes.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you guys again so much. Michael, where
Thank
can
you.
People follow you? And what do you got shaking?
Michael Evans, LOL, on Instagram, and check out my podcast, Lunch Money, with Mike Mazzalotti, live on Facebook every Wednesday at 1. Tune in, baby.
I'm Felicia Michaels. You can follow me all across the board at Felicia Michaels.
I'm at Jess Wellington, too, on everything. Please follow me, and you have been lied to.
I'm not telling that one.
Disney believe you.
You're the real liar. Please stand up.
She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.